Thank you, Gary. I appreciate the prayer, and I know Tony and Dort and McWilliams appreciate it as well. I offer up the same prayer as every brother in front of me does. And that was a great prayer, Gary. I've been working on the mystery, as you all know. And I went through Ephesians 1 last time, and I explained that the Ephesians letter is basically the one of the mysterious truth messages from the Apostle Paul that was given him directly from our Lord and Savior. The first three paragraphs are our standing, and the last three is our state. And at this point in time, I'm working within our standing. I went through Ephesians 1 last time, and I'm going to quickly read through 1 again, because Ephesians 1 is a very strong message, and Ephesians 2 is even just as strong concerning our standing. Excuse me. Ephesians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. This is to the Ephesians and to the faithful in Christ, and that is to everybody who is faithful to our Lord and Savior and to His Word. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, before the world was, before the cosmos, that we should be and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by our Lord Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Father, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known, unto us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself. And this is His will, that in the dispensations of times He might gather together in one in all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even or together in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted Christ, in whom also ye trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth and the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, in 1:13 right here, this is referring back to John's gospel. When you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, after that, you believed. Believed is the magic word here. But for that, ye believe, you were sealed, and you, dear brothers, and those that are listening, whether it's tonight or a later date, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. I'm going to stop there because I'm actually going to start there with tonight's study because that leads into Ephesians 2. Because Ephesians 2 starts with the prayer that Paul speaks of in Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. This is Paul's prayer. And the hope of His calling can be 4 and 5. Where it says, according as He has chosen us in Him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption, that's the hope of our calling, to be adopted, the adopted sons of God, by Jesus Christ to Himself. And what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance? We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in 3. We, who are the church, the body of Christ. In Colossians 1:5 it says, for the hope which is in heaven, wherefore ye heard the word of truth. In Colossians 1:25. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but is now, not before, not 2,000 years ago, but now at A.D. If memory serves me right, 63, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the rich glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In 1:19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power? Resurrection. To usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. And set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. Again, in heavenly places. The only time it's referred to is in Ephesians. far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that is which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, the called out assembly. Who could that be? I'm looking at him. Which is his body? The fullness of him that filleth all in all. The fullness is, could be, I can say it's right, summed up pretty much in Ephesians 1:10. His members fill up the body of Christ, and the body of Christ fills up all things and completes the dispensation of the fullness of time. Which leads into Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 is laid out into four sections. Our past condition by nature, our present condition by grace, our past condition by birth, and our present condition by superabounding grace. Ephesians 2:1, and you, it says, has he quickened, but that's not in the original text. And you, who were dead by your trespasses and sins. Paul is talking about the Ephesians and faithful in Christ. We can also know that he is talking about us because our lineage is Gentile and we're faithful in Christ. Everyone within my voice were at one time dead, with no hope, sin, but as we have seen in Ephesians 1:7, of our redemption through his blood. And two, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our passion in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. The Ephesians was famous for practicing a formula of exorcism written on tablets and worn as amulets. It was proverbial. This is the past condition by nature. Ephesians 2:4-10 is going to be our present condition by grace. Or you could say our present standing by grace, because our past standing wasn't. That God, being rich on account of his great love wherewith he loved us, that is the notes, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. Colossians 1:13-14, who hath delivered us. I'm going to wait and read that after 7. I'm sorry. Ephesians 2:6, and raised us up together with Him and made us sit down together in heavenly places in Christ. Note this is the third time heavenly places is mentioned. In order that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us. And I was reading that from the notes, but it says that in the ages to come He might show His exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That's what it says here too. Okay, I'm sorry. But in Colossians 1:13-14, or and, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And the word exceeding riches is hyperbalo. It's made up of two words, but hyperbalo, the Strong's number is 5235, to throw beyond the usual mark, to surpass, exceeding, excel, pass, and is made up of two forms, hyper, which is 5228, and balo, which is 906. But hyper is a position of over, with a generative case of beyond, across, for the sake of, instead of regarding. And balo, a primary verb, to throw, more or less violent and intense, arise, cast, lay down. Paul here is reiterating exceeding where Christ always goes above and beyond what we can imagine. Ephesians 1:19, and what is the exceeding or surpassing greatness of His power to us who believe according to the working of His mighty power. Ephesians 3:20, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly, that's ekperisos, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. In 1 Timothy 1:14, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundantly abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus, to superabound, be exceedingly abundant. In Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, in order that no one should boast. If we could be saved by our own works, then grace would have no place. But we're saved by grace. In 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. In 2:10 in Ephesians, for we are His work. It says handiwork. But for we, it says, for we are His marksmanship. But in the notes it says, for we are His handiwork. Having been created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before prepared in order that we should walk in them. 2:11. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past, Gentiles. Now, we're past condition or past standing by birth. You notice the term Gentiles. This is in 11 and 12. Remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were apart from Christ, having been estranged from the polity or politics of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God, no hope in the world. Speaking of circumcision, everybody on this page knows what circumcision is. And I'm assuming if anybody is listening to this at a later date, if you're a man, you know what circumcision is. When we go back to looking at the first circumcision, we go back to Genesis 17, just to look at circumcision. We'll read from 5 to 12, and this is Abraham, because God made this covenant with Abraham. Let's read 1. And when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said to him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. Well, now, Abraham was not of the nation of Israel yet, because Israel hasn't been sanctioned by God at this time. But Abraham is the father of Israel, or the grandfather. And Abraham fell on his faith and got face in him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many. Establish my covenant between me and thee. Does it say anything about any other? Let me see. What was the last thing he heard? Because usually it loses me for about a minute. Because when I see lost today, I know I'm done back. Which part of the Genesis have you heard? Okay, well, I'll just go back to 5. I'll go back to Genesis 17:5. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but by thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant. Now this is him and his seed. This is not the rest of the world. This is for him and his seed. To be a God unto thee and thy seed after thee, and I will give unto thee and to thy seed the land where thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou shalt and thy seed after thee in their generation. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee, every man-child among you shall be circumcised. Ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man-child in your generations, every man-child in your generations, he that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed, he that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs circumcise, and my covenants shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And in 14, and the uncircumcised man-child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people and hath broken my covenant. So this is a covenant between God and Abraham and his seed, which is Israel. That's not Gentiles. This is a covenant between God and Israel. In Colossians 2:11 and 13, Colossians is written by Paul after Ephesians, and Paul tends to explain in more detail the same circumstance that he mentioned in Ephesians. In Colossians 2:11-13, it says, "In whom ye," and I'm reading from the notes, "in whom ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism." Do you see water here? I don't. I see death. I see buried in baptism. "Wherein ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of Christ, resurrection, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Go to Ephesians 2:12. I think I read that. "That at that time you were apart from Christ, having been estranged from the politics or polity of Israel, and strangers the covenants and of the promise, having no hope without God in the world." That's a brief explanation of circumcision. That Israel was the only group of people that God had a covenant with, was circumcision. The Gentiles, every man among us, when I was a child, I was told that we're supposed to be circumcised, and I was said that it was biblically related, but I had no idea how. And through modern medicine, it is found that circumcision is a cleaner, healthier environment for the male to have less of a disease, to be cleaner. And we get into Ephesians 2:13, and I'm going to speak a little more on that circumcision shortly, because it means a lot. Ephesians 2:13-22, which is the rest of the chapter, is our present condition by superabounding grace. or you can better say our present standing by surrendering grace, because this is where we stand in front of God. But now, I'm reading from note, turn to my computer real quick just to stay up with it. Excuse me just a second. Ephesians 2, 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who once were far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. But now, you notice the change of plan? But now, the two most famous words in Scripture. For He is our peace, who having made both one, and having destroyed the middle wall of partition. In the CB notes, it says that the middle wall of partition, which is the only place it's mentioned in Scripture, is the type is seen in the stone palisade, about 3 cubits high, which has separated the courts of the Gentiles from that of the Jews. To pass, which was death to any Gentile. But this middle wall that Paul is speaking of here, I don't think is the actual wall that is in the temple. I actually am pretty sure it's not the middle wall. This middle wall is the wall between God and any other nation except Israel. And is this wall broken down here in Ephesians 2:14 in the year A.D. 62? I'll leave that up to you to question. But let's go back to Acts 10 and look for a second. It starts out in 1 and 2. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man. Now, Cornelius was not an Israelite. He was a Gentile. And one that feared God with all his house. But you notice he said, feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Go to 28 of 10. This is after Peter had been up on the roof praying and had done been given the message to eat of all of the four-footed beast. And he said to them, ye know that it is unlawful for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation, speaking to Cornelius. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. And this is after he saw the sheep come down from heaven 3 times with all four-footed beasts and flying creatures, and God says, eat. And go to 45. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is after Peter had done witnessed to the Gentiles and they were poured out of the Holy Ghost. Is this where the middle wall of partition was taken down by God? Well, it might even go back as far as when Christ was killed, crucified, when the curtain was rent between the most holy place, the curtain was rent. It's possible that that was where the middle wall of partition was torn down. But Paul was given this message to give to the Gentiles so that we could understand that there's no more a block between the Gentiles and the Jew. In God's eyes, there's no more block between the Gentiles and the Jews. Acts 10:13-45 as being the possible timeline when the middle wall of partition was broken down. In the breaking down of the wall of partition, now we have one new man. In Ephesians 2:15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, hatred, even the law of commandments, 10 commandments? Contained in ordinances. The magic word here is abolished. In his flesh, the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, for to make in himself one new man. So this law separated man and God. This law separated Jew and Gentile. So this law has been taken down because it says, having destroyed, done away with, melted, abolished, just totally wiped this middle wall of partition between God and man, or Gentile and Jew. So making peace. One new man. There's no more Jew nor Gentile. There is one new man concerning God. This new man is used in 3 places, and it's only in the prison epistles, and it's only in 2 of them. Again, it's in Ephesians 4:24, and that ye, and this is in the state part of the Ephesians letter, that ye put on the new man. You act like the new man, that you can walk in the state which after God is created in righteousness and holiness. So if you are right with God, then you are righteous. You have the standing to be in front of God. And also in Colossians 3:10, and having put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of Him, Christ, that created Him, or God that created Christ. Now that the new man has been put on, that means that the old man has been done away with or has no more dominion over us. In my mind, is the circumcision made without hands. The old flesh has been surgically removed by the blood of Christ. Remember, man, to show that he was willing to do God's will, shed his blood for his circumcision. But Christ, our Lord, our Savior, shed his blood. We're reconciled by his blood. Through his circumcision, he has circumcised our hearts. By Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. And have put into the dump. The new man is no more slave to sin, but being quickened in Christ, being raised in Christ, already there in God through superabounding grace, understanding our standing in Christ is to know we are forgiven. No matter how bad it was. And placed in front of our Father as being blameless. Through Christ's shed blood and placed us in Him. When we believe, and this goes back to Ephesians 1:13, we were sealed, are sealed, by His promise. So no more of our blood through fleshly circumcision is necessary to God, or works to show our faithfulness, but our thanksgiving for His grace. Ephesians 2:16. Yeah, well, you have fun finding Ephesians 16, okay? Ephesians 2:16. And that He might reconcile both, Jew and Gentile, into one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity, the hatred, thereby. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. You notice He says we both. That's a Jew and a Gentile. We both have access by one Spirit. That's His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the what? The household of God. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. We're getting into a building here. You notice we have a foundation. They're built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior Himself, Christ Jesus, being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded. You are worked into this building, in whom you, that's hearing my word, are into this building, the church. This is the church we're talking about. This is the only building that can be classified the church. For a habitation of God through the Spirit. That's pretty much it for my study tonight, and it is my prayer as always that the Lord be with me as I continue on with my study into this mysterion message that was given only to the Apostle Paul. Some people try to say that the mystery was nothing more than a secret. It was a secret to everybody beyond A.D. 62. But after A.D. 62, it is a mystery because people don't understand it. You have to search and see. Be like Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved. What do we need to be approved for? To be worthy of this calling. Disappeared. I just want to thank you guys for listening to me, and I get a little carried away and emotional at times when I'm studying and when I'm speaking. But the emotions come out of me that I feel toward my Lord when I'm speaking, because I sometimes can feel or empathize with what he actually did. After seeing the movie The Passion, it gave me a whole new experience into his suffering, because up until the time of The Passion, all we had was just believing his word. The Passion gave us a little more insight into what it looked like. And that was, I'm sure, just a tad of what actually happened. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, dear Lord, for this word. For Lord, I know that you are this word. I thank you, dear Lord, for all that you do for me and for all the body members. I thank you, dear Lord, for that you've done for mankind through your shed blood. And I thank you, dear Lord, for that you did from before the foundation of the world, that you set aside a church, a group of people, to that void that was created in making this earth. I thank you again, dear Lord, and Lord, if it's on my behalf, Lord, I ask that you be with the brothers that was mentioned. Be with Brother Jim, and be with Brother Tony, dear Lord, so that if it be on my behalf, that you help them through their infirmities, dear Lord. And be with the hearts of those that are listening in. And if there's any here that don't know this truth, study. And I thank you, dear Lord, for all that you do, for all that you're doing, for all that you're going to do. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.